Well, thank you, Barney, so much for this opportunity once again to share God's word with all the believers that are out there online tonight. So I have something pretty special that I'd like to share with you tonight, but I'd like to start out with, you know, it's springtime now. The grass is growing. The trees are already have their leaves on them. Well, some of them are still getting their leaves, depending upon what part of the country you live in. It's been raining. Plants, the perennial plants are coming up like they do every single year. But some have to be planted every single year from seeds. And the great thing about planting from seeds is that after the season's over and you've enjoyed all the beautiful, wonderful plants out there and all the colors, one plant can produce hundreds of seeds for the next year. And we all know the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus tells us in Luke that the seed is the word of God. So tonight, I hope to plant a seed with what I'd like to share on you. And we're calling this the four basic elements of life, or the four basic elements to sustain life. And like I say, it's pretty simple. I guess you could say this is pretty relevant to our everyday life or our existence as we know it. Without it, we couldn't survive. But first, I want to open up with a verse of scripture that most of us, we've been around the word for a while, we're going to find very, very familiar. You probably say it every single day. Go to Ephesians 6:12. It tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The NIV translates it, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, this scripture tells us many, many things, but I'd like to share on two things, the natural and the spiritual. We're told that there are two realms. We're told this is a natural and a spiritual realm. And we know, obviously, that we need our natural, our physical bodies to survive in this present world, but that's not where our battle lies. Our battle is not with flesh, but with the spirit. And to keep our bodies, our natural bodies alive, we need certain things to survive, and God has supplied these things, obviously, way back in Genesis. So bear with me, and I'd like to share on four things or the elements that we need to sustain our physical and our natural bodies. Number one, we need air. Without it, we couldn't breathe, right? That's a no-brainer. So go to Genesis 2, and in verse 7. You can turn there. I'll just read it for you guys, or if you choose to turn there or swipe there. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, or a living being." Now, it's pretty obvious to us today that we need air to breathe. Without it, our natural bodies would just die. And what about light? Back in Genesis, go to Genesis 1, in verse 3. "And God said, let there be light. And it was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And evening and the morning were the first day." Here again, we obviously know we need light. Without it, we'd be walking around bumping into everything. It's necessary for everything. You need light to see all the beauty that God has made available, amongst so many other things, which I'm going to talk about in just a few minutes. Well, how about water? Let's continue in Genesis 1. And in verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." In verse 7, "And God made the firmament and divided the waters from which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so." So again, obviously, we need water to survive, and amongst the many other things. They say you can live, 3 to 7 days without water, depending upon your age and, your health, your physical health. Without water, dehydration happens. So it's obviously, like I said, it's a no-brainer that we need water for our physical well-being. We also need it for sanitation, for cleaning. You guys get the picture. Then we got food. Back in Genesis 1, in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." in verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Now let's look at verse 29. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Verse 30, And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, we know that we need food again. That's a no-brainer. Food keeps us healthy, keeps us upright, and able to live. What happens when you don't eat? Your body responds by getting weak. It needs that nourishment. It needs fuel to go on. Some folks get kind of cranky or itchy after they don't eat for a few hours. How about a few days? We know our physical body's going to break down. Your organs won't function the way they were designed. And you die. We need nourishment to live. Like Ephesians tells us, there is a natural and a spiritual reality. Even plants need these four elements, survival, and to grow for the purpose that they were designed for. They need food, water, air, light. That's four things that life needs to survive or to live. And God has so abundantly supplied that to us. Think about it for a minute. You don't really think about breathing. It's there. Or light. The sun is always out there. Unless you got a cloudy day, but you know the sun is out there. Water. God provides the rain. And food is available. Can you grow a tomato? Can you grow a potato? My point is that God has given us all the things necessary for our physical and our natural well-being so we can live a healthy and abundant life while we're here. Like I said earlier, there is a natural and a spiritual reality. And it's so cool and so enlightening to see what God says about our spiritual life. It also contains these four things that are necessary for, like I say, our natural and our spiritual life. So let's take a look, go to Job 33, and in verse 4, The Spirit of God had made me, and the breath of Almighty had given me life. Now looking back in the Genesis, what we just read in Genesis 2, when God breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul, both our physical, our natural, and our spiritual need air to help both grow and to nurture. The Word of God is full of, you know, so many examples of air, wind, and breath, but I think we can all agree on how important air is to our well-being. Then we got water. Jesus referred to himself as a source of living water. Look at, go to John 4, and in verse 14, where he tells, and I'm sure you all are familiar with this, he tells the Samaritan woman at the well, But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become a fountain of water, springing up to eternal life. How do we find this water? We find it through his word. Once again, there's a lot of verses pertaining to spiritual water, but let's take a look at another look at John 7, and in verse 38, Jesus said that whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. That's pretty evident. Then we have light. We know what natural light is, but what about spiritual light? Go back into the into John. Let's look at John 8. And in verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's not talking about walking around with a flashlight or walking around with a candle or a 100-watt light bulb. He's talking about the word. He tells us in Matthew 5, Jesus said, You are the light of the world. We are the lights of the world. A town built upon a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way that your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what is that light? It's the word, guys. It's your example. It shines. That light just shines, and people are drawn towards it. As we look to the Word and we put it on in our lives, you just start glowing. in this dark world, people notice something, and something's different about you. You're kind of like a magnet, or more so like a moth that's drawn to the light. You can't help it. So let's look at, let's go to spiritual food. Jesus said in Matthew 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now, obviously, we need bread to live, bread or food to live, but also spiritual food. So what is it? Take a look at John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, does that mean that we're literally going to eat the Bible? Nah. But we do need to nourish our spirit as well as our natural life. So what is this spiritual food, and how do we nourish it? How do you eat it? That's a great question. Actually, we all ask that question from time to time. But we know that our physical food, we need physical food to grow and to mature. It's the same with our spiritual life. It needs to be fed also in order to grow and to mature. Bullinger describes it in a most wonderful way in his book on how to enjoy the Bible. I love the way that he explains it. He goes on to say, this word of God is the food of the new nature. Nothing else can sustain it. Just as it is with our physical life, it cannot sustain itself, and its support must come from without. So it is with our spiritual life. Its food must come from without also. As we cannot live on ourselves in the natural sphere, so even we cannot feed on ourselves in the spiritual sphere. We cannot live on our own feelings, nor on our experiences, nor upon the sweetest words which come from man. These may excite, or warn, or interest us, but they cannot feed us, nor sustain our true spiritual life. It was a solemn truth that the Lord Jesus Christ asserted when he compared himself to food, saying in John 6:57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. For as food must be eaten for oneself, and digested and assimilated, so that it becomes part of us, and enters into our life, and gives us our strength, so it is with the bread of life. All Bible study must, in the end, be individual. As with ordinary bodily food, others may prepare the food and serve it up in various forms. They may cook it in more senses than one. They may present it in made-up dishes. They may carve it and cut it up. And they might even put it in the mouth as with babies. But after all, there is no more that they can do. They cannot eat it or digest it for us. They cannot assimilate it up for us. Even so it is with spiritual food of the Word of God. Notwithstanding all that has been said in the foregoing pages, the great necessity remains. The work of the Bible study must be, to the end, intensely personal and individual. Each one must look at the references for himself. He must trace the words through all their occurrences where these are given. He must consider their usages. He must read the context. He must make his lists and tables and do his countings for himself. For so only can he feed upon the word, and the words be nourished and be strengthened in himself, and grow thereby. So only will he be able to say, like with Jeremiah, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So guys, that's kind of what I wanted to share tonight. There really is so much more to say or to tap into on this subject. And I would highly recommend E.W. Bullinger's study on how to enjoy the Bible. It's an awesome book, along with all the other wonderful teachings and resources that we now have available to us. It's an awesome addition, to your books and to your study, to help open up the scriptures to where we can understand what we're reading. So my suggestion is go out, get some sun, breathe in some fresh air, drink a cool glass of water or fresh water, and enjoy a good meal, and maybe plant some seeds, and watch God's beauty show up. It's a great time to be alive, guys, and to recognize and reflect on what we have been given. I take it for granted sometimes, as I'm sure maybe some of you guys might too, but when we take the time and stop to look around at all the awesome beauty that God surrounds us with, we can get pretty thankful and pretty humble. So like I say, take a walk in nature, talk to God, you ain't going to regret it. His beauty and masterpieces, they surround us everywhere we go. The mountains, the beach, the desert, even in the suburbs and the city. Just take a look around, and God's beauty will be found. So, guys, that's what I wanted to share with you all tonight. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I'd like to close with a prayer. So, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for being so good and kind and gracious to us, God. You walk with us and you talk with us, and you show us things that, God, only you can. Your amazing grace is beyond our comprehension, Father, and we say thank you. Father, simple words just sometimes, we say this all the time, they just don't seem to be, we seem to repeat ourselves. So thank you, Father, for that wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. I know sometimes we don't know what to say, but your Spirit you gave us does. So thank you again, Father, for everyone on the line tonight, for their health, Father, for their heart, for their good, sound, solid minds. I thank you, Father, for our kids. It's tough out there for them, God, so I just thank you for guiding them and walking with them. And for all the kids, Father, all your kids. For our leaders in government, Father, we pray for them also tonight, our military, our EMTs, our police, anybody in harm's way. Father, I thank you for the family of all the victims out there in this weather-related craziness that's going on. I thank you, Father, for calling us out and allowing us to call on you, Father. And I thank you for these things, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.